Well, hey, folks, we're back again.
Just last week, I made a joke. It seems like Wednesday, like every day is Wednesday because it keeps rolling around. And now, like, Friday feels exactly like Wednesday, and Wednesday feels exactly like Friday.
Well, that's the times we're in.
Yes, it is. The beauty of it, though, is that we are capable of putting these two fun shows for us to do on the air on WHPC, 90.3 WHPC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan. With me, my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan. We are here every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. Two shows, two very different themes. Wednesday, we're going through a list of some of what we consider to be the most important albums of all the time, proving why albums matter. On Friday, it gets a little bit headier than that. We're trying to cover the entire history of popular music, folks.
No small feat.
As best as we possibly can. We got 250 topics to cover, figuring that between them, there's really not a lot that's going to fall between the cracks if we can cover it all. This series we are calling Transistor Days, which is meant to cover the period from 1955, the birth of rock and roll, the birth of the transistor radio, and the 45 RPM record. And we're going to follow through until 1969, which I think is a fair time to say when that era ended. And today marks show number 32. Now, if you're into this series at all and you're having fun with it, go to our website, AmericanNetwork.com, and check out the previous 31 and do some catching up if you missed a few, because we've been having a party and we were wondering when you were going to show up. So welcome aboard, and let's get going with part 32, which finds us in the spring of 1965. Now, what's really crazy about this, Heidi, up until now, we very rarely had to do two shows for a specific season. In 1 hour's time, you can usually cover 3 months of music history, especially pop music. Well, we couldn't do it for the last two shows. We did two shows to cover the winter of 1965, and this is part one of the spring of 65. We barely cover 45 or 60 days with this show because as 1965 developed, the Beatles and Motown both became even more entrenched into the consciousness of America's music fans than they were in the previous year. The songs in this show barely span 3 months, like maybe two and a couple of days, from March to early May, late March to early May. But the trends of the previous year have now grown into something like a Leviathan. The British invasion dominated just about everything except for Motown, which ran a one-stop shop for the reinvention of American soul music. These were heady times. The 45 RPM record and the transistor radio were the most important means of listening to new music in this era. So let's get started with our first track from the British invasion, naturally, by The Animals. Now, we had heard The Animals in this series once before. We played them when they did House of the Rising Sun. Now, you may not know this, Heidi, but the band actually started as a jazz trio. In England, jazz was a big thing. Alan Price, John Steele, and Chaz Chandler eventually took on new members, Eric Burdon and his sexy blonde friend, Hilton Valentine. And they changed their name from the Alan Price Combo to the Kansas City Five. But the funny thing, when they brought Burdon along, he was such like a roughneck and sloppy dress, and he was rude. And so everybody who knew the band called them the Animals. Didn't matter what they called themselves. So like an unfortunate nickname, it stuck. The problem was that since they released House of the Rising Sun as the Animals, their follow-up singles didn't do so well. So they started to scour for demos, and they discovered the song Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, which was perfect for Eric Burdon.
For a bunch of animals.
Yeah, it's Eric Burdon. I mean, he had the perfect personality to sing the song because nobody did understand him. Drinking binges, brawls, obsessions with race and his color. Basically, he alienated everybody who knew him, even his own band members. So when he sang this, it sounded like he meant it. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here are the Animals with Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood.
Sometimes I feel a little mad. But don't you know that no one alive can always be an angel? When things go wrong, I seem to be bad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my other side. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never mean to take it out on you. Life has its problems, and I get my share. That's one thing I never meant to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, 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 baby, don't you know I'm human? Have thoughts like any other one. Sometimes I find myself long regretting some foolish thing, some little sinful thing I've done. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Understood. Yes, I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
After House in the Rising Sun, that's the song that more or less lifted the Animals up to a higher level to allow their career to continue, frankly, as part of the British invasion. Now, there were side effects to the British invasion. One of them is obvious, and that's Elvis Presley. He was so important when we started the series. From 1955 until 1960, even 62, his presence was so incredibly important, what he did as far as invoking a change. By 1965, it's
not so much anymore.
It's ridiculous. It's truly ridiculous. He's an actor now. He's not a rock and roller. He releases a film called Girl Happy. And a girl by the name of Dolores Fuller, who was a songwriter and an actress, she actually played the title character's girlfriend in the Ed Wood film, Glenn or Glenda. She's responsible for writing this song.
Nice.
And Elvis releases this in 1965.
Shameful.
It is so embarrassing and ridiculous. And we play a couple of songs for the sake of being great misses. And this certainly qualifies. On American Radio 90.3 WHPC, poor Elvis singing Do the Clam.
Listen to that bongo sound. Grab the first one in your reach. Now we're gonna shake the beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, do the clam. Grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam. You can't get your heart to spin on the outside looking in. Moon ain't gonna last all night. Well, let's work up an appetite.
Yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, do the clam. Grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam.
Everybody's got that beat.
Everybody's got that beat.
Listen to those happy feet.
Listen to those happy feet.
Ain't you glad that you found out?
Ain't you glad that you found out?
What the clown is all about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the clown, do the clown. Well, grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clown. Dig right in and do the clap.
All right, there it is. I think it's fair to say that I can call it the artistically suspect Do the Clam.
Yeah, I think he was hanging out with Annette Funicello doing a beach blanket bingo.
Yeah, a little too much beach. I mean, that's just it. It was, it sounds like so retro.
Just corny.
It goes back to like the 50s with the whole beach imagery stuff. Meanwhile, the Beatles, on the other hand, have their American label, Capitol, releasing album tracks as singles, and they're going to number one. I mean, we just played last week, 8 Days a Week,
right,
as a number one single here in America. In England, they never saw it that way. It was just an album track. Well, the B-side of 8 Days a Week even charted.
Another one of my favorites.
And
as
it's,
a kid.
Right, the funny thing is, it's like it barely cracked it. It just barely reached because it was a B-side and it was essentially an album track. And it was kind of depressing. John, around this point in time, was writing depressing songs. He's writing, I'm a loser. No reply. You know, his girlfriend won't get back. It's really strange. John was getting dark. And
well, he was never an easy guy. Let's just put it that way.
He was a searcher. And when he was feeling bad, this is like, it would culminate with help. Please, I need somebody. But at this point in time, he's still like searching the underbelly. And he comes up with I Don't Want to Spoil the Party as a great album track. And it was the B-side of 8 Days a Week, and it charted in its own right. And it's so beautiful that it deserves to be played. So on American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here is the B-side of 8 Days a Week.
So I'll go. I would hate my disappointment to show. There's nothing for me here, so I will disappear. If she turns up while I'm gone, please let me know. I've had a drink or two and I don't care. There's no fun in what I do when she's not there. I wonder what went wrong. Waited far too long. I think I'll take a walk and look for her. Though tonight she's made me sad, I still love her. If I find her, I'll be glad. I still love her. I don't want to spoil the party, so I'll go. I would hate my disappointment to show. There's nothing for me here, so I will disappear. If she turns up while I'm gone, please let me know. I wonder what went wrong. I waited far too long, but I think I'll take.
shop and the store, put the lock on the door. Just get away where your worries won't find you. If you like, well, I'll tell you more. Don't let the day get the better of you. When the evening comes, there's so much to do. You better put on your best and wear a smile. Just come along with me a while, 'cause I tell you, downstairs to some tables and chairs. Soon I'm sure you'll be tapping your feet, because the beat is the greatest there. All around there are girls and boys. It's a swinging place, a cellar full of noise. It's got an atmosphere of its own somehow. You gotta come along right now, 'cause I tell you,
dedicating that one to Steve Mandarasina.
Yeah. Perhaps this is a good time to mention Steve Mandarasina and his show, Everything and Everything, which
Anything.
And Anything, of course, which comes on after our show on the weekends, on Fridays. And Steve is really funny, because Heidi and I, a while back, I can't remember exactly when, I was playing Pet Clark, and Heidi started teasing her about being the matriarch of the British invasion. And it just turned into this thing. It was rather funny, to say the least. But that is the song that I will defend her by, because I think it's an, you know, she released Downtown, which was a great way to make everybody want to, like, you know, be in London during the British invasion.
Right.
And then I Know a Place comes out, and it basically, like, she just saw you and raised you, baby. Yeah, I mean, that's like kind of perfect. She drops the phrase, you know, with this girls and boys, a swinging
cellar
place.
Cellar full of noise.
Cellar full of noise. And you know what that is. That's
yes.
a reference
yeah.
to Brian Epstein's autobiography about his time
as
a manager.
Well, it was also a reference to the Cavern Club where the Beatles played.
Well, that's exactly why Brian titled his autobiography that. He ventured into a cellar full of noise to discover the Beatles, and it changed his life. So that was the title of his book. And, you know, basically about a place where the lights are low and the music is fine. It was all basically about talking about swinging England. Not
yes.
London. I shouldn't have said London, but yeah, because that was in Liverpool after all.
Yes.
But, you know, swinging England like a pendulum do in, you know, pre-1964. And that's how we all caught up. Okay. So that being said, I got one more miss, and then we can move on if you don't mind.
Okay.
But, we picked on Shirley Ellis a bit earlier, when she was doing the name game, because I thought that song was totally ridiculous.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of stupid.
Yeah, I know you do.
I think this one's even stupider. It's called the Clapping Song, which is sort of like an extension of the name game. And the whole song is based on the, like, I don't know, some sing-song jump rope thing about Little Rubber Dolly. What really is even worse is that the Bell Stars, this is what I hate about the 80s, the Bell Stars re-recorded it in 1982. What were they thinking? I mean, I can almost forgive Shirley Ellis, but the Bell Stars, sorry, no excuse. On American Radio 90.3 WHBC, here is Shirley Ellis with the Clapping Song. If you can follow those instructions and do what she's telling everybody to do in that song, then you want to be a rocket scientist.
You're a genius.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like calculus, college level calculus. It's crazy. It's impossible to figure out what she's talking about. All right. I said it a number of shows ago, and I said, you know, once Marvin Gaye appears, he's going to be a regular. And it's kind of true. This is his 10th Top 40 single. We didn't cover all of them, but so many of them are good that it's kind of impossible to look the other way. This is a song that was written by Smokey Robinson and his bandmates, Marv Taplin and Warren Moore. He originally wanted it to go to the Temptations, but it ended up in the hands of Marvin Gaye, became his first million-selling record, his first number one on the R&B charts, and obviously a big hit for Smokey Robinson as well as a songwriter. American Radio 90.3 WHPC. I'll be doggone. fabulous song that is.
Long Gone.
Oh, Smokey Robinson, what a miracle worker he is as a songwriter.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible. Of course, that's Marvin Gaye with I'll Be Doggone. As we are counting our way from 1955 until 1969, and now that we've hit 1965, it time-wise is a slow crawl, but audibly it's fabulous because the music gets so good in 1965. The pop hits are amazing. And Heidi, if you remember at the very, very beginning of this whole thing, when we hit the British invasion, I asked you, what do you think is the next band to hit after the Beatles? And I think you guessed The Who, which was...
Which is so far.
A ludicrously bad guess.
No.
Right.
Hermits.
I'm not... Right. I think it was Hermits. Or maybe Dave Clark 5. But
Dave
Clark
5.
But I'm not here to mock you on that because...
Oh, but you're bringing it up.
Only because, like, I think a logical guess. I thought you would
have... And on my birthday.
Happy birthday, baby. Happy birthday month. Happy birthday season. I thought that you were going to say the Rolling Stones, and they were late to the party as well, because this is the first time we are going to play the Rolling Stones on this whole series. And we're up to 1965 already, like a full month, year and a half pretty much into the British invasion. Their early history was colorful, and I mean, but in America, most of the time, the group was only of marginal interest here. They were one of the last English invasion bands, and they were only reaching their stride while a lot of the other groups were already showing signs of irrelevance. Their hit singles, four Rolling Stones songs preceded this track that we're about to play. I'm about to play The Last Time by the Rolling Stones. Four singles in America were top 40 hits before it. The first was Tell Me You're Coming Back. I had no reason to play that. It's just not that exciting. The next two were cover versions of American R&B songs, All Over Now by the Valentinos, Time Is On My Side, obviously Irma Thomas. Both good, but they were covers of, there were better versions of both songs, frankly. This was followed by Heart of Stone. Good, they're getting on track. But considering the early impact of other bands like Herman's Hermits, Jerry and the Pacemakers, The Animals, of course, The Beatles, the Rolling Stones at first seemed to be a bunch of late-starting also-rans. Before this song, most of the Rolling Stones' material was either lifted directly from or derivative American R&B. The Last Time was no exception, technically speaking. The song already existed as this slow, religious-based composition by the Staple Singers. I don't know if you knew that. In an astoundingly nervy moment of avaricious plagiarism, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards claimed 100% authorship of their anglicized and considerably less religious version. After all, who would know the difference? In 1965, nobody was paying attention to the Staple Singers on the pop charts. Even the Staple Singers must have scratched their heads, wondering how this tune could suddenly have sound as though it were a paean to evil carnality. It's not what they were about.
Right.
But that was the brilliance, the genius of the Rolling Stones. On American Radio 90.3 WHPC, here's The Last Time by the Rolling Stones.
What you know is true.
All right, well, up to this point, I've played nothing but British Invasion hits, except for Motown tracks and then two misses, Elvis Presley and Shirley Ellis.
Yeah, where are the Americans?
I'm dumping on the Americans. Well, here is, let's pick it up. This is a song I don't even, this came out of nowhere. This blindsided me. To this day, it still blindsides me because it's one of my favorite songs of all time. And there's a weird fun fact about it. Gold Star Studios in California, where Phil Spector recorded, where the Beach Boys did a lot of their recordings. Well, did you know that there was a studio called Gold Star in Texas? I had no idea. There were two Gold Star Studios at the exact same time in America in different states. And at the one in Texas is where Roy Head recorded Treat Her Right. It's where Bobby Blue Bland recorded Turn On Your Love Light. And it's also where the Sir Douglas Quintet recorded She's About a Mover.
Boom.
One of the coolest songs in the world. On American Radio 90.3, WHBC, here is the Sir Douglas Quintet.
Thank you.
We put the spotlight on Marvin Gaye, but it was really a Smokey Robinson song.
Yes.
You know? And I think if people really were able to gather together not only all the songs that he wrote and recorded for himself, but the things that he had given away to other people, you'd have this entirely new appreciation of the man. Stunning. I mean, that song, he kept it for obvious reasons. He was this suave, soft-spoken gentleman. He had that reputation. And anybody, you could tell by listening to him that that's what he was about. Mm-hmm. So to keep a song like Ooh Baby Baby, which is probably the best makeup song of all time, mm-hmm. it's not only cute, but beautifully relevant. I'm glad that he kept it for himself. All right, let's keep going. We got a lot to cover. I got a couple more songs I want to do. And this next song is, I think it's fabulous. Solomon Burke, who never got his due. Produced by Jerry Wexler of Koss, who considered Solomon Burke to be one of his best singers of all time. But the song was written by Solomon Burke with, it's also credited to his second wife, Dolores, who was the mother of 11 of his children, a small fraction of all of them, and his own mother. He claims that he actually started to write this song on December 11th, just hours after Sam Cooke had been murdered. Mm. It was also at the same exact time, within 2 hours, I learned of Sam Cooke's death. And then at the same time, 2 hours prior, I learned about my wife wanting a divorce. A special delivery letter was waiting at the desk for me in the hotel. So all of these things came about very quickly and drastically. The man was having a breakdown when he wrote this song. It's that simple. Solomon Burke on American Radio 90.3 WHBC with Got to Get You Off of My Mind.
Got to get you off of my mind. I know it's just a matter of time. You found somebody new, and all romance is through. Yes, it is. Wanna throw the picture away. You didn't love me any old way. Somebody new, and our romance is through. Let me tell you, some folks' love is hard and strong. That's the kind of love that lingers on. Some folks' love is swift and fast. That's the kind of love that'll never last. But we had a love that was in between. And to me it was like a dream. We had to stay together till June. Not a problem wound up a groom. That's why
I gotta get you off of my mind. I know it's just a matter of time.
You found somebody new, and our romance is through. Someday this old heart of mine, hey, hey, is gonna find a love that'll make me shine. Shine like diamonds and gleam like gold. And I'll find someone that'll rock my soul.
I gotta get you
off of my mind. I know it's just a matter of time. You found somebody new, and our romance is through. Listen to me. I gotta get you off of my mind. I know it's just a matter of time.
Beach Boys holding their own. I couldn't say treading water, but that's only because this was early in 1965. And at this point, it was really obviously the British inversion, a British invasion versus Motown inversion. Or to say the Beatles versus...
Well, they did turn things topsy-turvy.
It was an inversion. And by the end of the year, the Beach Boys would certainly make a name for themselves as being not only worthy, but perhaps even surpassing that which they had seen as competition. But let's end the show with back-to-back number one songs from May of 1965 by the two biggest artists in the world, the Beatles with their newest number one hit and the Supremes with their fifth number one hit single in a row. On American Radio, 90.3 WHBC, here are the Beatles with Ticket to Ride, followed by the Supremes with Back in My Arms Again. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week on American Radio 90.3 WHBC.
Ticket to ride. She don't care. She said that living with me was bringing her down, yeah. She would never be free when I was around. She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. She don't care. She ought to do right by me before she gets to saying goodbye. She ought to think twice, she ought to do right by me. I think it's today, yeah. Okay.